Oopsie whoopsie. This is the news, according to me. Oh, it is good to be back in the studio for this particular episode. For those of you who put up with me as I was traveling on my little laptop setup, I do greatly appreciate that. I do have to, I had a little oopsie whoopsie though. A couple of oopsie whoopsies today so far. One I just figured out. The episodes were labeled wrong. And apparently that's all partially because of my ineptitude as I was doing episodes at different weird hours of the day. I posted two episode 110s. And then I ended up with episode 111, which was actually episode 112. This is episode 113 today. Hopefully I will label it as such. I think people saw episode 110 on there, and you know, thousands of people didn't click on it because they thought it was the same one. I guarantee you it was different. So different. But so for those of you who've missed out on an episode, I apologize, because I know how much your life hangs in the balance when you don't get to hear my voice. And I'm, of course, a little bit late getting this one put out this morning because, let's just say I got in about 1:30 in the morning this morning, and by the time I got to bed, it was about 2 o'clock. And by 6 o'clock this morning, my animals at my zoo were all wanting attention. I want to go out, want to go pee, want to get fed, want some milk, want this, want that, want to play, want to knock my keys on the floor, want to knock all my mail and stuff on the floor. That's always fun. I can bat it around a little bit. That's what the kitten's doing now. The kitten is all over the place and getting larger. Just got a whole bunch of texts here. I guess it's not really for me. It's a group text. Nobody's talking to me. So that's good. That's a good sign. So then I pull in, you know, I load up the dogs. And, of course, the dog goes out and by the way, I'm drinking chai this morning. Chai tea with Almond Joy creamer in it. Because it's just that kind of day. It's just a chai kind of day. Chai doesn't do my voice any good. I have noticed that my voice has a tendency to get a little rougher when I'm drinking chai, even if I put coconut oil in it. But it does something for my brain. It actually helps me kind of wake up a little bit. It's weird because if I drink it at night, I fall right asleep. But if I drink it in the morning, it kind of helps me kind of just wake up. Not really like super hyper, but just maybe it's just because it's hot, creamy, and I psych myself up or something. I don't know. All psychosomatic. My whole life is psychosomatic. So I get the dog out. Let the dog out. Dog goes running across the. Let them both out. And of course they go out and run around and do their little. They mark every place in the yard. And I live on about 7 acres, and they don't get. They just run free. There's nothing around. I live at the end of a dead end road. And the only property around me, there's actually no houses, like right, you know, directly attached to my property. It's all pretty much other than my one neighbor way down at the end where the road is. There's two place people down there on both sides of the road. They're connected to my property, but not really any other houses. Just, you know, you can't really see any houses much, especially in the summertime, you can't see them at all because there's leaves on the trees. But you can see some houses through the trees. However, you can't see the forest for the trees because the trees are in the way. You can't see the forest. So the day, that's the way the day was going. So I let the dogs out. They, of course, do their barking and rumbling, and they frolic and play out in the yard, mostly pooping and peeing. That's their frolic and playing now. They run around, and they realize I'm not out there, and then they look back at the house wondering what they're supposed to do next. Because they wait for me for instructions. So they stand there and look at the door, waiting for me to come out. So I come out, you know, and like normal, And my one dog is kind of whining. And I just thought he was whining because he wanted to go somewhere because they thought they were going to get to go to the office with me today, which they did. They're here. When I'm gone on a trip, they wait by the door in the evenings and they think they hear stuff. And everything that they hear, they think is me coming home. They start going nuts. Drives my wife nuts. So the whole house is pretty much nuts. And I get home and I'm like the king of the nuts. So it's a nutty place to be. It's really crazy. It's a loony bin. So we have I go outside and the dog is like meow. Of course he like tries to talk when he's like all excited about stuff. Oh, the Aussie. I have an Australian Shepherd. One of them is an Australian Shepherd. The other one is a Beauceron. The Australian Shepherd. He's very vocal. He's all excited all the time. Very smart dog. Extremely smart dog. Smarter than me. This dog could run five different Fortune 500 companies, I'm pretty sure. He's got that kind of talent. I look over and I realize he's holding his paw up, or I thought he was holding his paw up, like he maybe hurt himself. And so I ran over to him right away and to see what was going on, and I got over to him, and he's still holding his paw up, and realize he got his, I think he slipped and fell in some mud, probably chasing a squirrel. And his paw somehow went up into his collar and got caught inside his collar somehow. And so he was just looking at me like, there's something wrong with my arm, his leg. There's something wrong with my leg here. And of course, he was all muddy. So I had to take his paw out of his collar and wipe him off. And of course, as soon as I open up the back of my, I've got a station wagon because that's the kind of guy I am. I drive a Volvo. I drive a 2000 Volvo station wagon with 250,000 miles on it. And I just drove it to Milwaukee and back this week because it just keeps going. It's a very, very good car. All-wheel drive, comfortable ride. It's just a good car. And I didn't pay much for it. I buy them used, and I just do my own. I do my own maintenance on them, and it's I just keep going. So I got a new set of headphones today, and I can hear myself better. So I'm kind of freaking out. A little bit. Anyway, more of the morning story. So I get the dogs all loaded up and get ready to go. Buddy of mine calls me and he wants to start a podcast. So we might start a podcast. Yeah, that's what we're going to do. So I might start another podcast actually now. So he wanted to know if I was interested in starting a podcast. I was like, well, I actually have a podcast. So we could start another one. Let's just do that. So I took off, finally got to work, and pull in here and was going to get the dogs out of the car and got the doors all opened up, and I thought I heard something that sounded like air, like an air compressed, like air leaking from something. I get the dogs inside and I listen to the tires, and sure enough, I have a big screw in one of the tires. So it'll be flat by the time I get out there, I'm sure. So I've got an air compressor here. I can fill it up. But I'll have to deal with that now today. I was planning on going home and taking a nap. Because I only got about 4 hours of sleep last night. And I can't function on 4 hours. I need at least 4.5. I got a big meeting tonight. I got a, big weekend. I got a big show. But not another big show today yet. I got my fans that count on me. It's a tough life, but I've got my chai tea, so I'm okay. I'll be okay. I'm okay, folks. You can pray for me though, but I'm okay. So now that we got all that out of the way, I can't remember anything I was going to talk about today. Yeah, there's one thing that's in the news right now. It's kind of stupid. The two things I've talked about in the last couple of days well, one thing I talked about yesterday that I think is it bears repeating again because it is playing out this way. And I think I'm noticing other pundits are starting to notice this. And it kind of amazes me sometimes how far ahead on the cutting edge. I'm way out there in front of the cutting edge, which is why if I stop, I get cut. I get stabbed in the back. I pretty much called it on this thing with Cuomo. The allegations against Cuomo about the nursing home scandal are now getting covered up by a scandal that doesn't matter. A scandal that makes no difference, in my opinion. There's the scandal of the sexual harassment charges. That doesn't matter. That goes away. You know, those kinds of things go away in a month. If he just, he's dug in on that. He's not gonna resign. The issue of the scandal with the illegal activity, for one, lying to the feds, and then the cover up of what happened with the nursing homes, is all not being talked about at all in the mainstream. They've given the mainstream media something else to talk about that they know that they can overcome. And look at Bill Clinton. He's still a popular president. Probably could have ran again for a third term and probably won. I'm sure he could have done better than Al Gore did. And that was a close race. So they know they can overcome that kind of thing because nobody expects anything more out of them. So that's just the way. I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed. I'm sorry that I never touched anyone inappropriately. I never touched anyone inappropriately. He's got a lot of mouth noise when he talks. You know, it just drives me nuts because I can't even imitate it. It's like, I never touched anyone inappropriately. The only way I can do that is if I like grab my cheeks and push them back and forth. I can't make the sounds he makes with his mouth. Maybe it's just years of training in the voiceover industry to try to avoid lots of mouth noise. I don't know. I don't know what it is. The other thing about the way he talks, and this is something that, of course, drives me nuts. He talks extremely slow when he's talking to the public, when he's making a public speech. I don't know how I can explain to you the complicated issues without talking down to you because you're all stupid and I'm the smart one. That's the way the guy talks. I can say 10 times more in the same amount of time that he speaks. He can stand up there and talk for 3 hours and say about, an hour's worth of material, maybe. And he repeats himself half the time, so it's really a half an hour's worth of material. And, you know, a half of that isn't even worth anything. So maybe he could talk for like 15 minutes and just, you know, get it done. I could tell you what he's told you in 15 minutes. Takes him 3 hours. But, you know, it's very condescending. When a person talks like that, typically, that means that they are... They're very unsure of your intelligence in speaking. They want to talk down to you. They want to patronize you. They want to make it sound like, or they don't want to make it sound that way, but they feel like inside the reason they have to talk slowly is because you're stupid. That's what's happening there. And if you notice, I talk extremely fast. I don't talk as fast as Ben Shapiro. That guy, you have to understand, he was in a... Oh, here's the other thing some people do. And this is, even some people I like listening to, they do this one thing that I like their content. I don't like the way they talk. They talk like this. Everything they say has an emphasis on every word. And they come out like this and they talk like this. Every word is staccato. I can't stand that. Folks, talk like a human being. I know you're trying to get your point across, but every word you speak is not necessarily... Oh, great. Yeah. My other employer now is calling me, probably wants me to go to work. And I'm not ready to go to work. So I'm not going to answer it. I'm already working. This is my job. They don't understand. I got a real job here. I got fans. So, where was I? I was talking about something very important, I'm sure. Yeah, they talk very staccato, and it's... I know that they think that what they're saying is important, and so they. But I'm not sure why they have to do that with every word. I don't know if they're trying to transcribe it. Like when you talk to Siri, the best way to talk to Siri is, "I want to go to the bathroom now." That way, Siri understands each and you know you have to separate each word. If you just talk like I talk in general, typically I could say, "I want to go to the bathroom now," and it'll say, "I think you said you want to buy a giraffe in Africa." I think that's what you said. Yeah, that's what I said. That's because everybody wants to do that. That's just a standard, typical sentence. Why wouldn't you think I would want to say that? Sounds logical to me. So, yes. So we have these issues. And that's my story. That's pretty much just my story about the issues. The issues I have with people, the way people talk. But you have Cuomo. Let's just call him Cuomo. He came out and made this statement, pretended like he was all upset, and even kind of made his voice choke a little bit. That wasn't genuine, by the way. That was fake. Anybody who thinks that was real, that wasn't real. That is not who that man is. He doesn't get choked up over apologizing for anything. So we have issues like that are going on. Now, here's the other issue, though. I want to talk about this more than anything. We have this whole Dr. Seuss thing, and this is going to come and go. You won't remember anything about Dr. Seuss in a month from now. I mean, this is one of those news cycle things that they're just throwing out there to kick around and bat around like a football. The whole Dr. Seuss thing. We have a I don't know. They're canceled. There's like six books that they have decided, for those of you who don't know what's going on, there's about six books that they decided that are offensive and racially insensitive, I guess. I guess what they decided they are. Inappropriate for kids. Been around for forever. So Amazon has decided they're going to not allow them to be sold on their platform anymore. So they've canceled them. I think even the Dr. Seuss publishing, whatever it is, has decided not to sell them anymore as well. They're not going to publish them anymore or print them or whatever. Whatever it is they do with books. I don't know. They print them or bind them or burn them. I don't know what they do. Whatever they do, that's what they're doing with them. So they're not allowing them to be sold anymore. Here's the really crazy part of this story. eBay has come out and said they are combing their platform for these books. Now, see, because what happened was people came out with, they had a bunch of these books. They were coming out with, I bet the price, the value of these are going to go up. The value of them was going up right away. People wanted to buy them as collectible items. And of course, they put them on eBay. eBay is not allowing the sale of those items anymore. That to me is a little creepy. At what point will I not be able to have a garage sale and just sell things from my garage because the PC police are going to show up and somehow, you know, decide that I'm not selling the right products in my garage sale. Now, what I want to know is who makes these decisions? We have some kind of moral code out there, some kind of moral standard. I mean, I've heard of pastors coming out against certain things, saying that some things are wrong. You don't see books getting thrown away for that. You don't see books being, you know, Mein Kampf is still available on Amazon. All kinds of books of debauchery and all kinds of other things that are considered immoral. But by golly, you cannot go against the PC world of what we deem in our morality all of a sudden. This is like China, folks. This is very similar to what's happening in China. And if you look down the road here a little bit, we are pretty much following the social police that China has developed as well. And when I see something like this happen, my question is, oh, this is stupid, let's push back on it. My question is, who's making these decisions? Who came out and said they're offended, and it's so important that person's not offended that we are going to ban those books now from being sold? Who decided that these little creatures that were drawn as a cartoon character are somehow represent something that is offensive and destructive to children's development? Now, I'm not a big Dr. Seuss fan. Don't get me wrong. I'm not. I'd rather read Bible stories to my kids than read Dr. Seuss. There's plenty of other. I'd rather see Jane Run kind of stuff than Dr. Seuss. I understand that there's kind of this Whoville, the Who from Whoville or whatever it's called, or the Who from Whoville, whatever it is, was the very nature of someone who's kind of oppressed, kind of a defense of those people, or kind of it's very relatable in that respect. People who can't be seen, kind of thing. But it's just absolutely insanity. And it's, of course, everybody realizes the ridiculousness of it, so they all start talking about it. What they don't talk about is who made the decision. That's the core question we need to be asking here. Who decided that is wrong, and what are they basing this morality on? Because it is a morality that is somehow based on offensiveness. And whoever it is that's offended, I don't know who's offended by it. But somebody in some what they call Wokeville, right next to, I think it's just about 20 miles down from Whoville, is apparently triggered by this. So, oh my gosh, we have, what, maybe 5% of the population that's somehow triggered by this, so we have to burn the books. And that's essentially what it is. When you're eliminating it from Amazon, you're burning the book. It's a book burning. In the old days, they would just take their books out and throw them in a big bonfire in the street. When the Beatles came out a while back in my day, and they said, we're more popular than Jesus Christ. The streets in many big cities were filled with piles of albums, Beatles albums, that were burned in the disgust and outrageousness that people had for what they said. Now, because of what they said, now, if you look at the context of what they said, it wasn't quite that bad. They were actually trying to make a statement based on a context of statistics. However, whether or not they were right or not is questionable, but it depends on the context of how you take what they were saying. Now, having said that, they are not exactly Christian boys. So let's just be careful there. they weren't at all innocent, and I have no, you know, I, while the Beatles were extremely talented and they did an incredible thing, what they did was very remarkable. However, you know, that whole phenomenon was very remarkable. I know the songs. I grew up with them. So when I hear them, I can sing along with them. Played them in high school and the stage band and all the stuff that we did. But it's, I don't necessarily seek out, I don't have any of their albums today. I don't have any of their songs on my playlist. Let's just put it that way. I would rather listen to something more edifying and uplifting. I know some people have a hard time with that, but it's, I play in bands. There's one little band I play in that we play those kinds of songs, the old 70s and 80s, 60s, 50s, 30s stuff that we grew up with. So, it's been, you know, it is what it is. I can't, I digress. Some of the understanding of what's going on with this is that there is this, and I spoke about this the other day, this whole morality and the moral cultural issue here that's going on seems to be perpetrated and pushed upon society by an unseen hand. And again, this is the issue of a morality. It's a faux morality that is based on secular humanism and man's, the virtue of man or people, the virtue of humans. Lest I be offensive to anyone who's confused about their gender. So I don't know, and the thing, you have to ask yourself, where does this end? Because again, this comes back to the whole issue that I talk about occasionally, probably every show. You probably get tired of it. But I'll keep talking about it. The issue of it's not an issue of where we are necessarily today, but which way is the ship pointed? What direction are we headed? And who's controlling the rudder on this thing? Because it seems that we're steaming towards a waterfall, and nobody's paying attention to the waterfall. By golly, we just got to keep this thing going down river. And it, you know, it's, there are times when it's time to turn against the tide, and or the river. I guess tide, rivers don't really have tides that much sometimes. Well, sometimes they do. So, you know, start asking yourself these questions. You know, when you see something like this happening, who controls the news narrative of that whole thing? Who's got it in the news? Who's making the big deal out of it? And how much further is this going to go? And what direction are we headed with this? Because all of a sudden, and it's not just that you are selling the books, that the books were written. Now it's going to be the person who's selling the book is the offensive one and the racist one and the one who needs to be reprogrammed. I don't know if you saw this the other day. I guess there's a show called The Bachelor. I may have seen it, like 5 minutes of it, several years ago when it first came out. Never paid much attention to it. However, it's a pretty popular show. And apparently there was an issue where, I don't know, I guess someone of color was on the show and one of the bachelors or something, or I don't know. I guess somebody made a comment. And here, the whole thing revolves around this one girl who was there, who was an eligible bachelorette, or I don't know if she was I think it was on a bachelor show, but it was like she was one of the contestants to try to win this man's heart. She showed up wearing a dress that was the style from the Old South. It was a plantation dress type thing. I don't know the whole, I don't know all the details of how, what it's all called and what all the issues are. But apparently, she was vilified, lambasted, and cast out because she was wearing a dress from the Old South during slavery time. Because, you know, everything about the Old South, because they owned slaves, everything about their lives was completely evil. Nothing good could possibly happen during that time period in the Old South, when the Democrats ruled the South, by the way. And all of a sudden, it's all, it's, you know, it all blew up. Now, I guess the guy who is the host of the show came out and kind of tried to defend the gal. And of course, the lady who was interviewing him was black. And they had a discussion. It wasn't, and it was her show. She was interviewing the guy from, the host from the Bachelor. And apparently, you know, he was trying to defend her and saying, and so she made some comments. Well, then she came out later after the show and said that, and accused him of not wanting to listen to her side, and he was speaking down to her and wouldn't let her speak and wouldn't let her, and wasn't listening to her. And well, wah, it's your show. You've got a show. You can keep talking about it long after he's gone. And you invited him on the show. But now they are vilifying him. So he comes out later and apologizes, practically in tears. And he's working with, apparently he's working with a counselor. He said it's, well, it's not cancel culture, it's counsel culture. We're being counseled because we're so insensitive and unaware of our racism. And, you know, he kind of came out and condemned racism and went on and on about it. And then turn around and guess what? Some people on the other side decided to say that they're not sure if he was sincere about it or not. It wasn't enough. He went on for 5 minutes apologizing. And it wasn't a Cuomo apology. Now, in my opinion, he shouldn't apologize at all. I don't think he should have apologized for what he said. You want to go toe-to-toe and have a discussion with me? I don't care what color your skin is. We're going to have a discussion, and we're going to let it fly. And at the end, we're going to shake hands and disagree or whatever we're going to do. I don't know what we're going to do, but that's the way it's going to be. But we're going to have a discussion, and I'm not going to kowtow around the color of your skin. Because it's going to be about ideals, not about color of your skin. We can't have that kind of discussion in this country anymore, and that's dangerous. We are entering dangerous territory. Now, I had a discussion this morning a little bit about some things about you know, how the kingdom of darkness works a little bit. I wish I could have had a little more time. It would have made a great podcast episode with this guy. And it's one of the guys that wants to start a podcast, and we probably would, you know, this conversation probably will come up with that podcast. But it's one of those things about how the kingdom of darkness works. And one of the things that I think that you know, there's a little bit of discussion, a little bit of theory back and forth about, you know, does the kingdom of darkness know that his time, you know, he knows his time is short, so he's trying to act out. He's trying to. Well, here's what I mean by this. In my opinion, most of the things we see happening in the world, and this, I think the end times will lead us into the global governance and the whole thing of, you know, world dominance by a controlling power, whether that be a government or a technocracy or whatever it's going to be. Those people are driven and motivated to do those things. One part of that is that they have this false morality, that they feel like they are above everyone, that they are woke, that they need to impose this morality on society because they're right. So they impose this morality, and if you don't go along with it now, they can punish you because you're not going along with the societal norms, what society needs. But they're driven at the same time in themselves by thinking that they are so important that they need to be our parents. They need to control us. And you need to behave because they have a lust for power that is driven by greed and selfishness. So when you see this, now this is what the kingdom of darkness operates in. They are anger, rage, hatred, bitterness, lasciviousness. I could go through the whole thing. But mostly it's hatred, anger, greed, lust for power or other kinds of things. And those individuals around the world who have those kinds of motivations typically will continue to make decisions going down the road that are kind of all the same. They all kind of seem to work in concert with one another because they're all motivated by the same spirit. Now, the question is the enemy, is the kingdom of darkness organized in doing this on purpose? I don't know. There's an argument for no, because there's nothing but confusion and chaos, and it's a house divided against itself because it's, but now that has some very, and we've seen that play out a little bit in the last 4 years. We have seen people who are so blind with rage and hatred for a particular individual and what they think he stands for, because they can't get over themselves and their own self-righteousness, that they simply are blinded by their own actions. You know, they act out and react, not respond, but react in absolutely, you know, beyond the pale thoughts and actions. They're irresponsible ways. I guess it's not really irresponsible. They react in ways that are just completely, I don't know. You fill in the blank there. Ridiculous. I need chai for my brain. And we've seen it happen, and we're seeing it play out right now. And at its core root, there is this selfishness that also has a thread of fear, woven through it. And if you don't think so, what would you do if you were in the Capitol right now and you were afraid? I'd probably put up a fence and maybe surround it with a bunch of military people, because you're afraid of something. Oh, we're getting chatter. We think that they're going to do something on the 14th. I think at first it was the 4th, now it's the 14th. I don't know what they're talking about, but now they're saying they have to extend it out at least through the 21st. And of course, you got military people there that are being treated like crap. They're being fed food that's they got a bunch of people sick because the food is so bad. That we've had military overseas in the desert get fed better than they're getting fed in the nation's capital, which is absolutely pathetic. They shouldn't even be there. It's just stupid. It's absolutely stupid. And because they have to make this threat from the domestic terrorists, we're on a high threat level, these domestic terrorists. What are they afraid of? You know, they could solve it really quickly. It wouldn't even take $1 billion to solve the issue. We could just go back through all the election results and do an actual audit and show us how these 81 million votes showed up on November 3rd and 4th. Let's see how that happened. If you can show that to everybody, I guarantee you they'll settle down. But they won't, because they can't. And they know they can't. They simply want it to go away. Because we won. Next subject. Because I guarantee you, the Democrats, I know how they are. If they actually got 81 million votes, and maybe it was just a hate vote, maybe 81 million people showed up to vote against Trump. That's what they're saying. Most of those people voted against Trump. They didn't vote for Biden. They just voted against Trump. Okay. Do you think the people who hate Trump the most, the people who have spoken out against him for the last 4 years and made up all kinds of stories and told you every day they tell you things about him and what's going to happen to him and how what, because now I'm even seeing headlines today about this, about the tax, what is it? It's the tax lawsuit that's out against him, or the tax investigation. It's not going well. That's not looking good for Trump with his taxes. Well, I bet you that if they just got a kind of a blank check warrant to go through your stuff, Mr. Turbin, Mr. Dubin, what is that guy's name? Guy that showed up on a Zoom call doing inappropriate things. Tubin, is that his name? I bet if they found, you know, started digging around in your stuff with no warrant, just digging around, looking for something that you've done wrong, they'd probably find it. And that's what they're doing with Trump. They don't have any, it's just all allegations. It's based on presumption. It's not based on any kind of probable cause here. It's just, well, we know he's done something wrong. He has to have done something wrong. So we're gonna go ahead and go after him. We're going to get the rights to his tax records for the last 10 years. That's spooky stuff. So this whole thing happens, and you get this faux sense of self-importance, this sense of morality that you just decide to make up because someone within themselves is offended. Well, you know what? That's the whole beauty of this country, is you have a right to be offended, and you have a right to offend someone. That's the whole point. Otherwise, we'd have no discussion at all. And we you know, they say this kind of stuff, and yet who's the one who's being offended, and who's the protected class here we're supposed to be so careful with? Treat with kid gloves. Because that's patronizing in and of itself. And as I've said, morality, the moral law, if you want to call it that, is based on something that is outside of ourselves. It's not just what we think. Every man doing what's right in his own eyes. That's what I'm getting at. Now, because of what has happened, what God has done, he is writing his law on our hearts. So in a sense, there's this knowledge of good and evil within us. That we know we can self-govern because we can have the law of God living in our hearts. That can happen, but when it's not, there are people who have to make up their own morality based on what they think. And here's the problem with this. See, this is the problem with democracy. A moral law is one that establishes absolutes outside of what people think. In other words, you might think that abortion is okay. I think it's wrong, but the moral law says it's based on at what point is it murder? Or you may think that it's okay for a child, for a man, a grown man, to have intercourse with a small child. You may think that's okay. I don't. So now we're coming to a point where, well, let's take it to a vote. So we have the nation vote on it. It's called the moral majority. And there was a thing, I think it was Jerry Falwell back in the day. He had a group, an organization called the Moral Majority. And he wasn't talking about, you know, what he was saying was that the majority of Americans have a moral standard. I don't know if that's the case anymore, but I didn't really follow the guy too much, but in a democracy, society decides that, okay, at the age of 18, all of a sudden, you say something about someone who has had whatever's happened to them at the age of 16. Well, they're not an adult yet. Well, who says they're not an adult? Well, society says they're not an adult. And we voted on it, I guess. Somebody voted on it. The majority of people think you're an adult when you're 18, and therefore that's when you're adult. You know, there have been other societies, and still are today, that believe that at the age of 12, you're an adult. Or after the age of 12, you're an adult. At the age of 13, you're an adult. So where's the science on that? We've accepted that 16, however, you can drive at 16. That's an adult activity. You can vote at 18. You can also go to war. You can drink when you're 21. I think smoking now isn't a ban below 21 or something too. Who decides that? Well, it's a societal decision. And it can be changed. If society today came out and said, we don't want to have any restrictions on anybody smoking, when you come out of the womb, you can smoke whenever you want. We could do that as a society. And what I'm saying is, when it comes to moral issues, that now we can decide what the punishment will be, but it is outside of ourselves to say what is morally right and wrong. That's my opinion, and I'm sticking to it, because this is the news, according to me. That's what this is. But I digress again. I digress all the time. So that's my gripe for the day. Cancel culture is officially canceled, as Matt Walsh would say. I question where this is all heading. And I guess that's the thing I would say. Keep an eye out for what's on the horizon here. And again, it's creeping into a lot of society, a lot of academia, and as such, it trickles into the church. And you know, the church becomes watered down because it can't preach on certain issues. It can't uphold the standards that it knows because it doesn't want to be offensive. And it's just a matter of time before institutions are required to do things that go against their beliefs. It's already happening. And with that, then at some point there will be punishment for not doing so, in which they already kind of are implying now that they'll take away your tax-exempt status, or they'll cancel your Facebook page. They'll cancel those kinds of things are already happening because they can take you out of the public square, because that's done by the faux technocracy that we have around us. It's a very how do you say? It's a very touchy situation we're walking into right now. And I think that we need to be awake, truly awake, not just woke, but we need to be awake as to what's happening, the direction we're going, and how do we counter this. Obviously, a lot of prayer, a lot of fasting, a lot of intercession for our nation, the people in our government agencies, those who are at the helm right now, they have a tough job ahead of them. And we need to keep praying for each other as well, to be bold and get out there, tell the truth. God bless everybody. Have a great day. And I'll see you this afternoon. Thanks for listening.